It's gonna show up.
Hey, he's not in the party, Larry.
There we go. We'll modify that one on the fly.
Alright.
Alright, we're gonna be on in three. Two. Why does. Anyway. Three. Two.
Hey, Joe!
What?
I'm gonna watch my own food party.
Live from the sixth floor basement of the Guys Games and Beer Tower. It is the podcast of diminishing returns and emptying pockets. Guys, games, and beer!
Yay!
We are here!
Right on cue!
Hey, your pants are over there.
Thank you, I've been missing them.
At all!
For the record, Jake's pants are now in the corner of the room.
Yeah,
Jake's pants are now in the corner of the room.
All right, so... We should get something going here, because I've already finished this beer, and I'm pretty much ready for another one.
The good news is that it is just about time for...
Ba-da-bum! Ba-da-bum-bum! Ba-da-bum-bum-bum-bum! Ba-da!
I'm already drunk.
Good for you!
Welcome to Beer Court!
Hey!
What's today's defendant?
Oh, I gave him the computer.
You looked it up, and then you handed the computer over.
Here you go.
Oh, what do we got today? What do we got tonight, Ryan?
Good job, Ryan.
Another beer from the trip to St. Louis. It's Citywide Pils from Four Hands Brewing Company. This is a Citywide Pils. Is an American Pilsner brewed with Citra hops. This traditional lager is brewed with American-grown malt and hops. Cold fermentation with a bottom fermenting yeast strain results in a smooth, easy drinking beer with a clean, crisp finish.
So it should be a fairly clear beer too if it's using a bottom yeast. So you don't.
I'm just thinking about the conversation we had earlier about clear beer versus hazy beer.
Yeah, see, that is a really clear beer.
I was laughing at bottom yeast.
I know. Not only bottom yeast, a power bottom yeast.
So when you leave your swimsuit on too long?
So while we were in
where's Taylor when we need him?
Went to the stadium, and most of these beers
where's
are available
the TIE
in the stadium.
Okay.
So
if we go to a ball game,
it's like,
you guys stay
up. We really could have passed these beers out a little bit sooner.
Actually,
probably should have. No, we want to drag the process out.
That's right.
You know, we could probably, like...
Yeah, you got
double thread it.
You could just do that instead of waiting on me to do it.
All right, so this is mine.
Mine.
So they literally have like a almost like a grocery store inside of stadium. Where you just grab and go.
Really?
Like, okay, that's like literally like four coolers.
That's kind of cool.
What the hell?
All right, so
glass. All
right.
What?
Oh, you got a glass.
He's got a glass. Oh, we didn't hook him up.
Yeah,
right.
Ryan,
all
right.
Fair enough.
A little hoppy on the smell for a pill.
Yeah, truly.
It smells like cigarettes.
That's my hand. That's right. Just because we were just outside. Sure. Yeah. That's got a hoppy smell for a pill.
It's nice, though.
It reminds me of what a light IPA. Maybe it is hoppy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bit more bitterness than
it's
I would normally.
Though, because if I'm drinking this at a ball game, it's going to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
It'll still be drinkable.
Well, I like hops.
It's got a lot of hops for a pills, man.
Yeah, it's strange because I've had IPAs that have had less of a
hop profile. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. So normally when I drink a pills, I prefer like the Czech pills, which are really clear, you know, even the German pills. They tend to be... You get that sweetness without any hops.
There's not a lot of sweetness to this.
No, there's not.
It's not a sweet ending. It's not a sweet front.
I agree. It's kind of like a light IPA.
It's got the 5.5 alcohol.
Yeah, so.
And it pairs with Slingers.
And more importantly, Square Pizza.
Slingers.
Not Square Pizza. Breakfast thing. Must be something local more to them.
Not pie shaped pizza.
Not that triangle pizza.
No, not round pizza. Right. Only square pizza. So apparently... Ron, get yourself Rockies. And all right,
I guess the question is, cooler test, guys? Would we reach in the cooler and grab this?
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah. Yeah, on a hot summer day, I would reach in a cooler and grab that.
All day.
Yeah, when I am same thing, I'd probably order it at a bar.
Yeah, I would say, especially due to the size of the
The can.
It did help push it over the edge.
Rob, just go, let's see. I could grab that small can of beer out of the cooler, or I could grab the slightly larger can. I'm going to grab the slightly larger can out of the cooler.
It's actually kind of light, which is all
right. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's only a 5.5, so it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, but I meant light, like, it's not a heavy beer. Like,
oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, I can find myself drinking multiple ones of these for, you know, the entire night, and I'm feeling like I'm wasted.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. It's not.
I mean, you will be wasted.
Right,
yes,
but you won't feel like it.
But I won't feel like it. I know I will be, but I won't feel like it.
All
right. Well, guys, shall we?
Yeah, this is an easy one. This was probably one of
the
easiest
ones
I've done.
That was an easy one.
I'm drinking it, but it bites me a little.
Would you abstain?
No.
All right, Judge Rob, let's pass verdict on Citywide Pills by Four Hands Brewing Company out of St. Louis.
Not Foreskin, Tom. I know you're going to say
it. I was thinking about it.
All right. That's a whole other product.
Or Mr. Hands.
Or Mr.
Hands. Go ahead, Rob. Pass verdict on it.
I almost changed my verdict, but I'm not going to stick with it. All right, on the charge of dealing happy pills, I find you very guilty and sentence you to
drinking!
Drink down your happy pills.
All right. Okay, so Rob, what is the real reason we're here tonight?
Well, today we've got a guest, and that guest is...
This is Jasmine Ritchie from Big Fat Alien.
And what does Big Fat Alien make, Jasmine?
So our most recent game was Rogue Islands.
And we are going to talk a little bit about Rogue Island tonight because we've all gotten terribly frustrated playing it. And we've got lots of questions about the game, too. But I'm going to let Rob start this out because Rob's played it probably more than the rest of us.
Yeah, because I did a review on one of the beta versions. And I'm going to tell you guys, before you could shoot those bushes, it was a much... I actually cheered, I think, in your forums.
We've heard a lot of people hating on that.
There's a lot of those bushes too. I mean, it's not like they're just a couple of them here and there. They're freaking everywhere.
I'm so happy you can shoot them now. I was like, woohoo! You are. I actually spent an entire round eliminating them.
I was like, wow, you got that.
Oh, Spencer! Okay. Hey, Spencer! God, I haven't heard from him in ages. But continue.
So the basic idea is you are going to die. You are so going to die.
All right. Before we tell people how much work they're going to die in the game.
But you do get better. If you play it long enough, you will improve and you will get into the rhythm of it. You're not pulling punches here.
No, that's for sure. Jasmine, go ahead and give people a rundown on what the game is.
So you play a druid, little gnome, and he's a magic user. Set in a fantasy, like, voxel-y world, so it looks a bit like Minecraft, and we definitely got some flack for that, but we really like the voxel style, and I think it definitely sets itself apart from Minecraft looks-wise, you get to level yourself up, you look in the hills around you for gems and loot, and you have to look for food constantly to keep your little gnome happy because he's always hungry. it's definitely we wanted it to be a hard game, and it is. I think the more you play it, you can definitely get better at it and get yourself through it.
Yeah, like Rob said, you didn't pull any punches as far as the hardness. So let me just start with you talk about the gnome always being hungry. Yeah, the gnome's always hungry. And not only is the gnome always hungry, food is really hard to find. I mean,
if you're unlucky.
Depending on where
you gotta really, you look to the ground more than you generally do in most games because there's food hidden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really couldn't find much. I was having a hard. They kept dying a lot. They kept talking about 9Zs and I don't know. It was.
Okay, so Jasmine, you're about to say.
Yeah, so food is it was definitely one of the hardest things to balance because when we put in too much, it was almost frustrating because there's a certain limit you could carry of each thing. So you'd be constantly running into stuff and like, oh, I can't have this. So what's the point in storing it? And then, you know, we'd pull it way back and be like, oh, now there's nothing. We can't find anything. So I was definitely back and forth and we were constantly adjusting it during our early access. Now it's definitely like it's there. It's just hard. And I even still find myself when I'm playing, like looking and like, oh shoot, like I can't find anything. Like right now, mission number one is finding something.
But that's actually a good thing in a game, because so many games make food, you know, they say, well, you gotta eat to survive the game, but yeah, sure, if you eat like once every week, you're okay. Now this game, the more energy you expend, the faster you have to eat, which is a nice touch, and it's realistic. You have to eat a lot if you're gonna expend a lot of energy. So you're constantly looking for food if you're trying to look around the island a lot.
Does the game temper itself at all with how fast you're moving? So that if you slow down and you are taking the time to look around, are you more likely to find food or things in the game?
No, there's definitely effects. Like when the effect of hunger kicks in, your character starts moving slower. So, I mean, that's frustrating. And then you can't jump as high.
Okay.
It affects, like, your ability to use magic. You can eat the acorns. The peppy acorn will actually make you move faster.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, not, like, nothing to do with, like, your choice of speed will make it appear faster. It's all randomly generated. And just, like, what's on the island is what will be there. So,
okay.
Say you
okay.
manage to stay on the island for an hour. You're going to eventually run out of food. There'll just be nothing
okay.
left if you eat.
So it's not like, so if you're hunger, it's not hunger-based. So, like, if you are hungry, you're not going to find food. That's
yes.
not going to happen. Not necessarily.
Oh, no, like, just because your character becomes hungry doesn't mean that they'll immediately, like, something will generate for you. It's just, you have to be constantly looking. And then, I think on the easiest mode, you can store 3 of each item. So, I have found myself where, you know, if you're being cautious, you can store quite a bit and take it from island to island.
Okay.
But there are certain, like, say the swamp levels, there's tons of cherries in there. And those are the ones that hide you from the ghosts. But there are, like, the desert. I can never find cherries. Always having to do something else to hide from the ghosts.
They are.
I just try and get in and out as fast. It doesn't always happen.
That's it.
I try. You get in, you strike, and you get out. Once.
And
you ignore a lot of stuff that's going on around you, and you just go for it. Once you see, like, the gate, like the hell gate, once you see
the demon portal.
Yeah, you're going.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Don't
you know,
be messing around.
Right, I feel the same. It's despite the fact that losing cherries do give you the ability to make ghosts as soon as I even see dusk. I'm like, well, I'm going to hide in the ship until morning because I'm not screwing around because I might as well not.
No, yeah,
fuss
that's
with
the,
that.
The,
you
yeah,
know,
you're dead.
Well, I try to get everything done in one day and then go to the next time. My whole jam.
That's a good strategy.
I've never even tried to survive overnight. I just go like. I'm
depends how fast
you're going.
Yeah. Depends on
you gotta try it now.
But night mode is so pretty.
No, that's true. Things do look cool at night. Everything, you know, there's a lot of cool effects and so on. So,
no, it's kind of surprising to get some crap about Minecraft. That's a shot. And that look is a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Every look is cell shading when it first came out. You know, when you saw it on the Dreamcast,
right?
You're like, that's a real Dreamcast look, and then you saw it everywhere.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Not like
originally,
that
games like Jet Grind Radio were some of the first games to use that effectively.
Yeah,
but then everybody.
It's a design style.
Right, it's just a design style. So let's.
It's not like it's real crisp graphics.
Right.
But it's a style.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And it's an old style, actually, because it's still not common.
I wonder if that's what the problem is. You are not Minecrafting this. You are not going to take a slow, steady.
Oh, no. There is no slow in this game.
Yeah.
All right.
You're constantly running.
You are constantly running. Well, no, here's the thing.
Run!
If you stand still for a minute, something is going to try to kill you. So, no, you can't stand still. So, yeah, that brings up the point that we found with the game. It's, like Rob said, it's really a hit-and-run game. You really, it would be nice to explore, but even at the what do they call that first level?
First island?
No, the first thing, the simplest level, the easy level, the explorer level.
Oh,
You're still gonna die. You're not gonna do a ton of exploring. Trust me, things are trying to kill you. You're trying to find food. There's not a lot of time to explore. It's like, holy shit, I gotta complete the mission and get out of here before something kills me.
That is absolutely true.
That is what, how I found the gameplay to be. I mean, it plays very well like that. Let's go back to the. I know they did. They took 2 full beer each and left us with these half full things. We love you guys too.
Mail air.
Love you guys too. All right. So let's
Wait, very much left.
I know. This is actually, again, this is actually a very good beer. So let's go back. How did this game come about into being? I mean, it's been on the market for a bit now. Available on Steam, guys. We will we'll be giving away a copy of it tonight to one of our lucky Facebook viewers. And I will give away a copy tomorrow on our YouTube channel as well. So kind of keep an eye out for that. But that being said, so how did this game come about?
So my husband actually is the main programmer on the game. He's been in gaming for a while. And years ago when we made our first game, he just was like, I just want to try doing this. And said, okay. So he quit his job and we made that game. And then, you know, had to go back to work. Took a big break from games. And then for some reason we said, let's do that again. Let's quit our jobs and, try and do another game. And this one took us about 4 years on and off of work, and it's changed directions quite a bit. We wanted initially to just make a game that we wanted to play, definitely challenging. We started off with like a sci-fi theme and it wasn't working. And then we just really liked the fantasy and everything kept coming together. And we started with the voxel generation, and because we have random generation, we just kept coming up with these incredible levels and like look at that, and we can make these mountains and then carve out large sections. So that was just really cool to see it come together. And then we'd work on it, and I would make the textures, and then we'd put them on and be like, those are terrible, and change them. And so it was just like a lot of work in progress. And then,
so
yeah, it was about, sorry.
I wasn't trying to cut you.
No, it's okay.
So how did you get through that? 4 years? I mean, that's a long investment. I mean, how did you get through?
We're pretty lucky because, like, during that time, we also, you know, we had our little kids with us, and we had my husband's family helping us, and my husband would take, like, contract work to just kind of get us through little bits. But it was definitely hard. It's not easy making indie games when you don't have a lot of money backing you up. But we really enjoy this kind of thing, and we work really well together. So it's just a fun project, but stressful as well. So,
while on the deal of lack of money, without giving too much detail, because I know it's kind of personal, the whole drama behind it, tell us about your decision to partner with Keystone.
So we were initially approached by them, and it seemed like a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think, just, you know, long story short, we misjudged it. Yeah. And we just have done our best to move on from that since then. Because I don't want to, like, rip into them too badly.
Yeah.
But
No. That's pretty much why I'm like, you know, not too much, you know, just basically.
Just curious if there was anything specific, but.
Yeah, and I want to say,
that kind
of
stuff just doesn't work out. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, and I'll say sincerely, you know, you guys who are trying to bring a game out and are struggling as independent developers, I want to say, you know, apologize. I'm so sorry, you know, that didn't fall through. Because I also read comments, you know, in that community update saying, yeah, the bug people wishing they got screwed over by Keystone as well. So, you know,
there's a few other people who were working with them that just had the same experience with us, and it's really too bad, because it seemed like everything was fine, but then, you know, they would say that we're doing this, and don't worry, we'll always check with you, and no problem, we'll do that, and we'll do this, and it was just constant, like. So it was very frustrating to, like, I mean, we really love Rogue Islands and the project, and, like, the way it is now is the way we intended it. And when we partnered with them, like again, we were, you know, just a young couple with little kids, and we're like, we're running out of money. And they came along and said they'll help us continue development. And then it just turned out they, like, really weren't able to. So we finally got, they gave it back to us and, like, let us out of the contract, which was a huge relief, because we didn't have, you know, we have no, you can't really go too far out of your way to, like, hire lawyers and fight when you're, like, so, just don't have the means for it. So, yeah.
So during that contract phase, you weren't allowed to probably do any crowdsourcing or crowdfunding?
No, we weren't. It was all supposed to be just them. And, so I'm just, like, I was happy when I finally just took control over, and we just reverted all their changes and just said, you know what, this is what it is. We discounted the price and thought, you know, it's still a great game. I'm still proud of it. So we'll just keep it up and see how that goes.
Well, definitely agree with you, the great game part.
This is full sale now, right? So this is past all the crowds.
Right.
So we're seeing all that being.
Yeah, no,
it,
right. This is a fully a standard out Steam game, right? You can pick it up on Steam. So.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on the subject of reversing changes, I noticed the last update before you made that community update announcing, you know, the ending of that contract, I noticed that due to, you know, the poor sales and lack of money, that there was a decision to stop PC updates and go just full console, and maybe once that's done, you know, go back to PC and update if necessary. Is that a decision still on the table?
So the way it is right now, like we made the PC version, and then and that it is the way it is right now, like that's how it stands. So Keystone just kind of said, you know, we'll release on Steam, and they I think they thought it would just like sell like crazy, and then they would take the money in and do some development for console. But then, you know, they thought there well there's no it's not selling here. And I said, well, just because it's not doesn't mean you have to like ignore this community. Like, people are asking questions, they bought this game, and you're saying you're having all this support, so like you guys really need to like keep up your end of the bargain here. And they just were just really frustrating to go back and forth with them,
right?
But so yeah, what we just did now is like I said I'm not gonna keep the price up too high. Like I think it's like $4.99, and
it is currently $4.99 on Steam,
which should, which should, you know, those people complain. So,
I have to ask, so yeah, he as he was saying, the PC development, and I've played it on the PC, so what consoles is this available for?
So it's not on any consoles, like, that's what Keystone said that they would
port it to consoles, but it's only on PC
right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I figured, yeah.
So, what, do you know what development engine you guys used on this?
Sorry, development which?
Engine.
Oh, sorry. Yes, this is Unity.
Okay, it is Unity. So, so do you guys have any plan to maybe port it over to some consoles? I mean, Unity is fairly easy as far as getting things from one system to the other. Hence the reason you use Unity.
I would like to see this game go a little bigger. We currently don't have plans. My husband's working full time for another company right now, so I just manage the business stuff. Yeah.
I could see this as a console game. I mean, it's got a lot of potential. I could see this.
Yeah. I could see people throwing their Switches. It would be me.
I know. But that's the reason. A game like this would frustrate the heck out of those people.
I do.
Which
no,
makes me even
I do this so often. I buy a game on the PC and I go like, you know, I'd really like to play that on the Switch. So I go and buy it again on the Switch. Indie games constantly.
You get it on the Vita, and I'll probably play it a lot.
but it's something maybe you might revisit in the future.
Well, I definitely do, like I don't want to say that this game's like just we're done with it completely. Like we had other plans, like on our roadmap on the website. We like, you know, had started down the road of like, well, we had to take. We actually have some cheat codes where you can fly around and just look at the island, and that's how we would film our trailers and just take screenshots for promos. But.
Right.
So that was like our first step of like a creative mode where you could just start flying around and looking around your island and seeing like what you could do with it. And we have, you know, ability to add remove, but that just didn't go further than that. So it's obviously not available for anyone who buys the game, but there's definitely potential to do stuff with this. We always wanted to put in more enemies, you know, more of those spirit trees, because I know when you have to climb them, it's a lot of the same tree all the time. So yeah, I'm just like kind of working on dev work like that would be probably potential for the future.
Any plans, maybe recent plans for possible, as difficult as surrounding sounds, optimization? Because I noticed a lot of complaints in the communities, the poor performance and FPS. In fact, on my machine, I have a newer machine, keep in mind, I dropped all the settings in Rogue Islands to their minimum, and I get maybe 15-20 FPS. It's enough to where I played it. In fact, one day I played I blasted through like three islands. I love it that much. Yeah.
I got a crappy computer. I got a crappy computer. I haven't had any issues.
I put it on my Microsoft tablet.
I'm running an A10.
So I wonder if it's something.
And it runs,
you know,
just
so every
fine.
Once in a while you get something where it's just something.
See, it's very strange, because I end up dropping them all to the bare metal.
I mean, it's got this, this thing's a barn burner, but I mean, still, it ran well on my.
Like I said, I'm running it on my A10 processor with no problem. So.
Did I run it on the Mac too? Did I record it on the Mac? Was there a Mac version?
No.
All right, then I didn't.
But there was a Linux. No.
Yeah, my Linux box can run it.
Okay, so but Jasmine, this wasn't your company's first game. You've actually you've got something else that's still available on the market.
Yes, it's called Beep. It's like a 2D side-scrolling platformer.
I have not seen this one at all. So why don't you go ahead and give us a quick description of that one?
So the concept is like you play a robot called Beep, and he's basically it's like a hive mind. So every time you lose a Beep robot, you just upload your version of yourself back to your ship, and you drop onto the whatever world you're in. So you start out in a little solar system, and you fly your spaceship around to each planet, and then there's 4 levels per biome and 3 planets total. And just make your way through that. So we just made, it's a puzzle platformer. So yeah, that was the first game we made. It was, again, a lot of fun, but frustrating and challenging again.
So not road.
Okay, so was that was that a PC adorable. Platform only, yeah. Or was that on other machines?
That was just PC as well, yeah.
All right.
That reminds me of Battlestar Galactica, how they would upload to the regeneration ships. Yeah, the Cylons.
It's
how they
much cuter than that.
or what about Cryptosporidium?
All right. Hey. So people can still get that game though. Also available on Steam.
Destroy All Humans.
Yes, it's on Steam.
All right.
It's sitting at a 9 out of 10 on over 4,000 reviews.
Dang.
So I think it's the same.
That's high reviews.
that's a really nice.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when Beep was is just such a like it's a great it was a great experience to make. That was the first thing I ever worked on. And then you know when you go on Steam and you see those the stats of like who buys your game, and Beep is just insanely popular in Russia for some reason, and every once in a while we'll get a spike of like there's 500 people playing
the
game at once
puzzles.
And I'm just like, what? That's crazy.
That's cool. That is very cool.
So you mentioned
basically this is you and your husband. Do you bring in other people for doing art, or is it really just you two? This is kind of a complete in-house project.
So Rogue Islands is 100% just the two of us, except for the music. That was done by our friend, and he's great, and we gave him creative control to just do whatever he wanted, and we love the music. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful music.
Yeah, it really does. It sets a good atmosphere in the game.
Yes.
How do you shift from... Like, your first game was a side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Procedural generated adventure slash first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a big change.
It was a big change for sure. It's definitely more challenging. I don't know, my husband's he's a big nerd, and he just loves challenges like that, so he wanted to try a 3D world, and I was like, okay, you're doing all the programming, so power to you.
Okay, we've got quite a few viewers right now. Why don't we flash a code on the screen? Okay, so for those of you watching us right now, we are going to flash a code on the screen here in a few moments. This is for a free copy of, Jasmine has been so kind of provide us with a free copy of Rogue Islands. So we're going to flash a code on the screen right now. First to grab the code gets the game. So
we're going
to
do it momentarily.
Momentarily, as Rob gets ready.
Look.
Oh, yeah. So, and that has to, again. So,
I love what Larry does that, because it's like, yeah, I know we're still about
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so we are, you know, it's still not there. It'll eventually come up there.
It might be. You bet.
No.
People get ready.
It's coming.
When they hear this, it will be on. Number drags behind.
Right, it does drag behind. So, again, first grab the code gets the game, and I'm also going to, repeat that tomorrow on our YouTube channel.
Oh, sure. You have to put it at the top of the screen, and I'm going like this.
You're looking at switch camera.
That's okay.
Only that did.
Not a problem.
No, but you didn't catch me pointing right at it. So
Larry is pointing right at the code. Larry did get it right. You, on the other hand, you look like that's funny there, pointing at the screw.
Regular viewers. Regular viewers of the show, of course, know that I absolutely
love Hi, Heather.
To change cameras.
Okay.
Arm is over here.
All right, so... If anybody wants to find, let's go back. If anyone wants to find a copy of Beep, how much is that one on Steam?
Beep? Oh gosh, I'd have to double check.
It's $2.
It's $2 on Steam.
It's pocket change.
So, for $2, you can get a game that's evidently really popular in Russia.
Adorable.
And it's adorable to boot. So, I would have to go out. You know what? No, I don't think I can do that. I might see. Maybe tomorrow I'll give away a copy or two of that too. We'll see. I have to see if I can find that.
That's right. So, if it's cheap, Guys, Games, and Beer.
Give it away.
No, we're... So have you been cloud dreaming your next project?
I guess we have always had kind of, making games together, we talk about them a lot. My husband works at a game studio right now, so we talk about games a lot anyways.
Okay.
We'd like to do something again someday. We've just played around with a few engines like Unity and Unreal, and I think something will happen eventually. We're not currently working on anything, so we'll just have to wait.
Yeah, no, you didn't kickstart either of these projects, correct?
No, we didn't.
Right. So if you were going to do something like this again, would you think about something like a Kickstart or a GoFundMe? Not a GoFundMe, yeah. Kickstart or a Indiegogo or something like that?
Possibly. I think they're great platforms for people who are looking for that. I know it's hard when you're just a couple of people in an indie team. It's maybe slightly easier for us because, living together, you don't get a break from each other, so you need to just talk about the game constantly. But I know other people have their families to go home to, and that's a lot harder when you're working in a small team.
Yeah.
That's kind of me. Do you ever?
You're not gonna really ask this.
Do you get into arguments over it? Like, no, I don't think it should go that way. And
causing marital strife over game development.
Really?
It's possible. I know, I mean, it's like, yeah, but then again, there's a lot of other things.
We fight about everything.
That's true, we do. Yeah. We're not even married, a little bit. Yeah. All right.
In Utah.
So that's a real thing. All right, we are going to go ahead and wrap this up. Ryan?
That is a multiple husband-wife joke, by the way. All I want to say that was pretty darn good.
Utah jokes. Utah jokes are always good. All right, so, Rob, where can they find, first of all, where can they find Rogue Islands at?
Steam.
Yeah, that's right.
Steam is
go to Steam, just do a search for Rogue Islands. It's only $4.99 right now.
We, of course, will have a link up below this video when it posts on the good old YouTubes.
Right. And like we've been talking about, this is a really good... It's got a lot of good elements to the game. It seems a little bit hard at first, but you start getting used to it and it plays better and better. So, I mean, it really is a good
game.
You
mean it gets easier for you?
I wouldn't think it's easier. I'm not sure the game gets... No, the game doesn't get any easier. You just get a little bit better at it.
This is actually what a roguelike is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get frustrated as fuck at it.
That's why I get...
Oh, yeah.
That's why I get angry.
Throw the controller or get better.
Darn right. With G-I-T-B-E-T-R. Get better.
I'm sorry. I don't like the whole get good. Get good, scrub.
But Demon Attack is not supposed to be that.
Yeah, well, it can be. It can be. In our group, it can
Unless
be.
You're one of our
All
group,
right.
apparently.
Rob, why don't you go ahead and take us out of here?
I want to thank you very much for coming on.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been playing the game for, I think, about a year now. And I really like it. It's good stuff. I think I got like 80 hours into it. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good for you.
I still suck. I played today. I'm like, oh, I'm sucking.
Get better.
At least you know you can get better, right?
Yeah. No. If you keep on it, you get better. You get good.
Get good, yeah.
All right. And besides finding the link for Rogue Island, we will also put a link up for
Beep.
You bet. $2. Come on, people. $2 for a good 2D platformer.
Let's see a surge in sales.
If one of your regulars is too cheap, geez, I'll buy it for you.
Yeah, really. For the love of God.
Guys, Games, and Beer has more than that in ours. Wait.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
no,
we got the 6-pack. We can sell the beers.
Okay, we can sell the beer to buy the game.
Anyway, I have to point out that this episode is all... Always has been brought to you by Lionheart Racing.
Yeah, Lionheart. Hey, we'll see George shortly. He's going to come to Mech Day. I know.
So we'll have him on the show.
That. Yes, we'll have George on the show on that day.
For sure. You like yourself some racing? Do you? You like yourself some racing, but you don't want to die? Don't want to eat rotten hot dogs? I say that one every week, but it's true. Man, race track hot dogs. Anyway, you can watch the races with Lionheart.
Specials.
And if you go to www.guysgamesandbeer.net, you can look up on the
Keep
top.
Trying.
I'm not going to make
I
it.
Was. You can look, I'm putting it
I
in.
I think you got it.
You can go up on the top right hand of the screen, and there is a link right there where you can watch yourself some races anytime, anywhere. You can do that. That is freaking great, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Also, you can check us out on Twitter at Guys Games Beer.
Yeah.
Where we give away free games all the time. And banter back and forth.
All the time.
But you like yourself some Guys Games and Beer banter? You do? All right, well, how about Facebook? www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where there's stuff going on constantly. I am pretty sure that Dallas has had a crisis on our Facebook. I'm pretty sure he's going through a meme crisis.
He has.
There's some crazy crap going on.
Yes, there is. There is some very crazy stuff.
You are an excellent curator.
Yes, you are a meme king, sir.
You are the meme king.
You are an excellent curator, sir.
And by the way, we probably have about 300 episodes on YouTube that you could probably watch.
Yeah.
If you
probably more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're really crazy and you go to the website and you go up on the top navigation bar, guess what? Every episode of Guys, Games, and Beer ever made is there.
Wow.
Just you can watch my hair grow.
The archive.
You can watch Larry's hair grow.
Can you guys make that?
You can watch mine shorten. What the hell?
Can we just, actually make that a stop?
We might do that. All right, Rob, let's wrap this rolling pile of fire.
All right, I want to thank y'all very much.
You just pour beer on it.
Okay.
For watching. I'll see you 6 p.m., 6:15 p.m. CST next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yay!
Bye! Thank you.
All right, Jasmine, thank you for surviving the show.
Thank you very much.
This will drop probably Friday, the edited version.
The edited version should show up on YouTube on Friday. Generally, with these, we put it up on iTunes, which has been our more popular format.
All right.
Interviews we tend to put up there.
We'll send you links to both.
I really like the game. I got it from one of our publishers. One of the publishers sent me a copy of it.
Well, your publisher at least sent a copy of it
I don't think I've spent more hours on any game after actually covering it on my station than this one. So
yeah, the game plays really well. So hopefully we will see more from you guys, and if you do decide to develop more and want to talk about them, just reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the show again.
Thank you. It'll be great.
All right, Jasmine, thanks again for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.